This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show continues, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. Hour number three. My dudes and my dudettes, just 2 hours remaining here in the show, 2 hours remaining left in the week. If you want in, now's the time. Now's the place. I am going to tell you this right now. I am stunned, shocked a little bit about the lack of, let's say, participation in the show from Clemson fans. And I'll tell you why. And this is going to sound, and I am aware, this is going to sound as if I am stirring the pot. You have my word as a bro, which is the ultimate word that I can give you. My word as a bro. This is not me trying to stir the pot.
It's only one person who stirs a pot around here, and that's me.
Exactly. I got no need to stir the pot. Lonzo's over there like an outboard motor next to the pot. All right?
I get tired sometimes. I mean, it's like churning butter.
This is not me stirring the pot. This is genuine. When I moved here, and I think the Great One will confirm this, is the perception of many around the upstate. When I got here in 2020, Clemson was still the cream of the crop year in the Atlantic Coast Conference. And when I got here, even when the show was brand new in its original time slot of noon to three, daytime, work day, even when I was in that slot, Clemson fans were a big part of the show. You guys were in. You guys were calling. You guys were texting. You guys were letting everybody know how it's your world and we're all just living in it. And I got told by a number of people, some in the building, some out of it, that just hang on, Rob, because when the Clemson fans are not winning anymore, they'll disappear. Watch. When I got here, I pointed out that there were two teams in the market that everywhere I went, I saw their logo. One of them was the Greenville Triumph, and one of them was the Clemson Tigers. In fact, when I got here, I said on the air at one point, from a new guy's perspective, somebody that had literally never been in the upstate of South Carolina until I came up here to audition for the job, had never spent time here until I literally moved here and started my job the next day. It was very obvious to me at the time that the upstate of South Carolina was Clemson Tiger territory. Like, it was very clear. But I got told, just hang out. When they have a bad season, all of that will disappear. Now, I'm not going to make a statement on whether that part is true or not. What I'm going to say is, over the past 2 years where this has been going on, to me, you guys have gotten quiet. The show is active. The show is active. The show, I say the text line number 71307. Start your text with Fan FAN. I say the renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas Fan phone number 844-326-3663. We have set up the Ray Memorial Hotline. I'm active on every social media platform. Like, you have my email address, rob.brown@gmail.com, thefanupstate.com. I have given you every single way to get in touch with the show. And as expected, South Carolina fans have gotten dramatically more involved with the program over the past 3 months. But Clemson fans have largely disappeared. You are set to play for an Atlantic Coast Conference championship game literally tomorrow night. I would have thought, and maybe incorrectly, but I would have thought this would have been one of the most active days of the year for Clemson fans. Like, this would have been one of the most active days. This would have been one of the days of the year where we have phone calls coming in. The text line was all Clemson fans with their thoughts. I would have genuinely thought that there was a landslide of participation in the show. Keep it a buck with you. There's not. I'm to the degree to the point that I'm genuinely a little bit shocked by it. Texter said, Rob, Clemson fan, we're still here. Some of us just can't call in because we're at work. Dejected? Yes, but still here. And I'm not saying you're not there. I'm just saying this is a platform. And I know that what is said on this platform is heard up the road in Clemson. I know that for a fact. Because annually, when we go and participate in either ACC Media Days or Clemson Media Open House, or we go down and cover games live and in person, I'll be at the ACC title game tomorrow night in Charlotte. Every time that I go and I have a conversation with Ross or James or any of the guys that are in the Clemson athletic department, specifically in their sports information department, every time I have conversations with those guys, something comes up about a topic that was on the show. From them, not from me, from them. Right? Like almost every time. I would say every time. Comfortably say every time. What's said here resonates there. We may not have the biggest stick in the Clemson game, but what is said here resonates there. And I would think that there is an opportunity right now with you guys playing for a conference title game tomorrow to say, hey, everything's great. We're very happy with what's going on. Or we have to win tomorrow. If we don't win tomorrow and we're a four-loss ACC team, that's not good enough. Or I hope that Dabo is going to evaluate. Or Wes Goodwin ain't the guy. Or whatever. Because it gets heard. I just thought today would be one of the most participated in shows for you guys of the year. And respectfully, it's just not. Here's what I've got so far. Here's the text I've got so far. Tiger Pal Rachel, I'm still here, Rob. Tigers take the chip. I know, Rachel, you are P1 in the Armada. We need a title for P1. That's not good enough. We need like captain in the Armada. We need like a title, all right? Because Rachel, you're one of them.
Are there captains in
Yes. You are captains of a ship in the Armada. The person in charge of the Armada, me, Commodore. I've referred to myself as Commodore before. Commodore oversees an Armada, captain sails under the Commodore, but does command a ship.
So not Rear Admiral.
Correct. Okay. Rear Admiral would be in charge of the Navy as a whole, which oversees. That would be the man down the hall.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
The Rear Admiral works on that side. The Admiral works under us, the Rear Admiral down the hall. I'm the Commodore. I don't know what a Commodore's first mate is.
I'm just a bosun.
Quartermaster Zoe.
I'm definitely not that. I'm just an observer.
Whatever the highest rank of P1 is.
I'm more of an Air Force guy, can I say. I mean, you know.
In the Navy, you can sail the seven seas. Rachel, we know you're there. We know you're there. You're P1. Texas said, Rob, it's my personal belief that the Tigers are enjoying a platter of what Gamecock fans have been eating on over the last 5 decades. So it's hard to be excited about getting on board. That's fair. That's fair. Texter said, here's some of the other texts. Every time you said Kevin Jennings, I thought about the Jeopardy host running down the field.
Thank you. It was killing me. Because I'm like, how is he not? Okay.
I love Kevin. I'm a big Jeopardy guy.
Okay.
Big right. Jeopardy guy.
Because every time I'm just over here going, don't say anything. Don't say anything. Don't say anything.
Texter said, my fellow Clemsoners were not happy when Oklahoma beat Alabama and Brent Venables kept his job. Brent Venables was already keeping his job. Oklahoma's on for one more year of Brent Venables, but the Alabama thing sealed it. I think he was already keeping the job. They were going to give him one more year to try to turn that thing around, but you are correct. Texter said, Rob, I'm not arguing with you. I understand your point. I think Dabo is using NIL money more to recruit new players from high school rather than use money to recruit transfer portal players. I don't disagree. I do want to be very clear. I am not on board with the Dabo's anti-NIL. I think it's not that I think he's come around on it. I still think he actually hates it. I just think he's come to the realization he can't actively speak out against it. He does have to accept it because guys in Clemson are making NIL dollars now. I think he's got to, and especially when one of the first NIL contracts of note was what? DJ Uiagalelei a couple of years ago, getting that fat stacks from Dr. Pepper to go be a resident of Fansville.
Yeah, and then he moved away really quick. It was weird. Yeah. He was only there for a year.
He was renting an apartment in Fansville. Was he? Let's be very clear. Yeah, was renting in Fansville. But I don't think Dabo could have DJ making, you know, a few million dollars in Dr. Pepper money, but then also be like, NIL's dumb and players shouldn't get paid. I don't think he's like in favor of it now. But you'll also notice that you've got other coaches who go and they do coaches shows and whatnot, and they're begging for NIL money. Who is it? Kenny Dillingham. The other day, after one of their big wins, got on the mic, and he said, it was one of my favorite takes of the year. I think it was brilliant. He got on a mic in a post-game presser after they pulled off a big upset, and he said, look, we know what we're capable of, and we know we're on the way. If you made money on us, because I told you preseason, bet the over on the win total, bet the over. He said, if you made money on us, donate some of that to our NIL collective. Put some of that money in the kitty so that we can go give it to players. Put some of that money in the pot in the collectives so that we can go get players, right? He is actively engaging and challenging fans to give. Shane Beamer's done it with the Garnet Collective. He shows up and does, interviews with them and whatnot. And he's got his players going out and doing that. I don't see that out of Dabo. I don't think he likes it. I just think he realized, you know, I probably succeed without the portal. Can't succeed without NIL. But I get what you're saying, and I don't think you're wrong. Texter said, the handwriting for Dabo is already on the wall. Worst early signing day since he became head coach. That's an undeniable sign that the culture of Dabo is crumbling. This is true. I looked at it. Again, it's early signing day. There's still a lot of time between now and February, but Clemson's recruiting class was ranked 26th in the country this year. You know who was 25? Florida State University.
Recruiting classes go down when you have a very young team. Don't they have a very young team?
They do have a very young team. It does not mean that the recruiting class ranking goes down. You may bring in fewer players.
That's what I mean. You're bringing in fewer players.
If you only bring in 9 players, but there's like a bunch of, you know, 4 stars and maybe a 5 star in there, you're still going to have a high ranking because it's as much quality as quantity. Now, here is something interesting that I noticed yesterday. Of the entire, depending on what composite you look at, but if the composite 5-star guys, Lonzo, do you know how many landed in the Big 12 this year? Take a stab at it.
No, because signing day doesn't mean what it used to mean. So
early signing day, but there were still a bunch of 5-stars that signed.
Okay, 25.
0.
Okay.
How many 5-stars landed in the Pac-2?
0.
0. How many 5-stars landed at any group of 5 school? 0. How many 5-stars landed in the ACC? 0. How many 5-stars landed in the SEC or the Big 10? All of them. So there's something that is very interesting there. Let's see. Texter said, Rob, how do you shut up a bully? Punch them in the mouth. And Clemson and their fans got punched straight in the mouth. Go Gamecocks. Yeah.
Going to be a beautiful year. especially if they ballot. I mean, it's going to be nice and quiet. I mean, that's the thing that I care about.
So that was, and again, I guess that's what I'm kind of asking the question about here is that belief true? Is that belief accurate? That, you know, Clemson's had a couple of years that were down years.
I've lived here over half my life now, and I could say at least for me and for a bunch of people that I know, there's always a relief, and it's been a while, but there's always a relief when South Carolina beats Clemson, because then those people, not all Clemson, there are a lot of really good Clemson folks that are fans, but the other ones are just so much louder than them.
We'll find out. Again, I assume that today was going to be a long participated in day by the Clemson fans. You're playing for a conference title tomorrow, and it's just like, well,
it's a long, arduous journey to Charlotte. And so they're packing up bags and everything, finding their hotels, all that kind of stuff, and taking that long trip up to Charlotte. So they're not in the area right now.
Maybe that's it. Maybe. And I'm going to be there. I will 100% give you credit if I get up there tomorrow. I'll be in the press box. If I get up there tomorrow, and as I assume it will be, if I get up there tomorrow and it is 80% Clemson fans, then I'm going to give you all the credit.
Is there
in the
any
world.
Doubt in your mind? I mean, it has nothing to do with proximity, although it absolutely does. No, that helps. Clemson fans travel well, and this is a big game. They're going to show up. I don't doubt that for a second.
We'll see. All right, before we go to our break, we will do the audio blitz coming up here in the next segment, because I got a little off base, but I had to get about it. Somebody that is calling in to talk about Clemson, Tyler on the phone line to talk. This isn't the legendary Tyler from Spartanburg. This is going to be our own better superior Tyler. Correct, Tyler?
Yeah, Tyler from Easley, not Tyler from
Spartanburg. Hell yeah, welcome to the show, Tyler from Easley. You have an opportunity here to take back the name Tyler from the meme that it has become. Tyler, the show's on you, bud.
Hey, no, I'm not. So, not defending Dabo here. You know, I think we all agree he's got to embrace the portal, you know, to fill some gaps on some of the position groups we have. But want to put into perspective the number 33 ranking of the recruiting class right now. So, you know, every program has 80 scholarships. You know, it's the same across the board. Our recruiting class this year is a little bit lower because we have, you know, we retain more players than most programs. That being said, you know, people are kind of up in arms about the fact that we haven't landed any 4- and 5-star recruits, but I want to read you some names real quick. So 2016 to 2018, Kayvon Wallace, Isaiah Simmons, Reeves, Slatsky Chalk, a couple more here, Travis Etienne, Logan Rudolph, and Baylen Specter. There's 4 first-rounders in there. You know what they were all? 3 stars.
Sure.
Right. And so back in the day, I think we had coaches that could develop players more so than we're able to do now. I think our receiving core plateaus at the end of their sophomore year. You don't really see production increases. There's junior and senior year. Hopefully that changes. But I think we need to take, maybe, and I want to hear your take on this, but I always take the 3- and 4-star rankings or ratings with a little bit of a grain of salt, because you've seen dudes come in as 3 stars that are absolutely dogs. So, I implore Clemson fans, just, you know, take the 33 ranking with a grain of salt, given that we have less turnover on the roster. So that means less players coming in, which affects the rating. That's what I got. I'll hang up and listen.
Tyler, appreciate it, big dog. Thanks for checking in. I think there's a couple of things that you have to discuss here. I think one of them is something that is talked about all the time. I know that this was one of Mark Ryan's favorite things to talk about, and that's the blue chip ratio. Like, if you go look at teams that make the playoffs, most of them surpass the blue chip ratio more often than they don't, right? Or at least are right in that realm. To say that, oh, you can build a championship team out of a bunch of 3 stars. No, you can't. You can't, all right? I'm not a recruiting guy, just so we're clear. I don't lose my mind over stars. I don't. I'd rather just look and see what I got in a kid. But I also do understand that a lot of guys put a lot of eyes on a lot of kids to come up with these rankings. There's some benefit. A lot of 5 stars crash out. A lot of 3 stars become stars. ain't no doubt about it. But to say that not having 4 and 5 stars is irrelevant to success, that's just fundamentally, empirically untrue. And I do think there is some element to that being a criticism. We can talk more about this as the show rolls on. I want to get to the audio blitz. We'll talk more about those recruitings and the impact from what we saw yesterday. All of that coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Tell you what, I'm going to push the audio blitz one more segment. We'll do it in the next segment because we got a short one here. So I want to keep going with the conversation that we were having just a few moments ago. Thanks to Tyler from Easley from calling in and giving us some thoughts there. We were talking a little bit about the concept of the blue chip ratio. That is the number of players in your recruiting class considered blue chippers. The blue chip ratio is something that a lot of people pay attention to. The blue chip ratio is the percentage of your football team's recruits that are considered largely 4 and 5 star players. Because Tyler said, look how many guys we got staying around. These are players that are being developed. They're being developed in one system. You know, I'm not super worried about it. Last year's recruiting class, Alonzo, I'm going to read you, starting with number 10 and moving up, the blue chip ratio for the college football programs that had the 10 highest blue chip ratio percentages in last year's class. Now, this is last year, which means that you're going to have a bunch of guys that are going to come in and they may not make a massive impact right out of the gate. They got to develop, but I do think it's very interesting. Here they are. Number 10, Clemson, 64%. Teams playing for a title, playing for a conference championship this weekend. Number 9, Notre Dame. Notre Dame is a playoff team this year, probably the 5 seed. Number 8, LSU. LSU had a disappointing year and are already discussing the termination of Brian Kelly because it's not going great. And not only is it not going great, but they had a disappointing year this year and they will be outside of the top 10 in blue chip ratio next year. Despite the fact that they had a couple of huge pickups on early signing day, they also lost a lot of guys. Number 7, Texas, 72% blue chip ratio last football season. Texas is playing for an SEC title this year. Number 6, Oklahoma. This is kind of the anomaly here. But also, let's keep in mind, we're going into Brent Venables' third year as the head coach of Oklahoma. This is considered the year that you get a read next year, considered the year that you get a read on whether Brent Venables is the guy or not. But there's a lot of Sooner fans that are talking about maybe Brent Venables isn't the guy we thought he was going to be. Number 5, Oregon, 76%. Oregon playing for a Big Ten title tomorrow, already a guaranteed playoff game, may go into the playoffs as the number 1 seed. Number 4, Texas A&M. Maybe not the year you thought they were going to have. I mean, they were exactly the year I thought they were going to have. But let's also keep in mind, Texas A&M, first-year head coach in Mike Elko. And remember, had Texas A&M knocked off the Longhorns last weekend, we'd be talking about Texas A&M playing in the SEC championship game tomorrow night, right there on the door. Number 3, Georgia, playing for an SEC championship game. Number 2, Alabama, 88% blue chip ratio. While you may not agree with it, Alabama is, if they're not a playoff team, they are the first team out. And number 1 with a 90% blue chip ratio, the Ohio State Buckeyes. Here's Ohio State, not playing for a Big Ten title game tomorrow. Could have, should have, would have been. Probably should have been if they didn't lose to Michigan. And where is Ohio State? If you notice, the teams on this list of the top 10 blue chip ratio squads, the teams that were on this list, by the way, just for the funsies, number 15, Michigan, 56%. Down year, down blue chip ratio. Number 14, USC, 59%. Down year, down blue chip ratio. And also, I think maybe USC missed the boat with Lincoln Riley. Number 13, Penn State, playing for a Big Ten championship game. Number 12, Miami, 61%. one upset away from an ACC title game. Number 11, Florida, 63%. Florida, I'm going to tell you right now, doing it under the radar. Florida playing some of the best football of any conference, Power Four conference team, for the last 3 weeks of the season. Upset Lane Kiffin's Rebels. Beat the tar out of Florida State on their field. Planted the spear, planted the flag. The point here is, if you look inside the top 10, the teams that are inside the top 10 but did not perform this year are all teams where questions are being raised about the head coach. Dabo Swinney at Clemson, Brian Kelly at LSU, Brent Venables at Oklahoma, Ryan Day at Ohio State. This is a team that is going to the playoffs, and yet their fan base is calling for the termination of the head coach. So there are, of the top 10, there are roughly, what do we got, six teams that are in the playoffs, four teams that are just outside. One of them is a team with a first-year head coach that was playing for a ticket to their conference championship game and a playoff spot in Texas A&M. One of them is Oklahoma, that Brent Venables is in his third year, or going into his third year, but is being discussed as, is he the right guy? And LSU was looking at firing Brian Kelly. And then Clemson, who, again, could win the ACC title game tomorrow and go to the playoffs. But Clemson fans, respectfully, don't bury your head in the sand. There are questions being asked about long-term viability of the coaching tenure of Dabo Swinney. So I get what Tyler from Easley is saying. I get what he's saying. And I'm not saying he's wrong for feeling that way, but I do think respectfully, that's a very silver lining way to look at this, right? That's a very, and we're fans. We're fans. You're going to lean on optimism. You never want to. Sometimes you have to. You never want to look at your program and go, we're failing. We are trending down right now, right? Go look at any Florida State message board. If you're a Florida State fan, it's a sad day. If you're anybody else, it's hilarious to watch the meltdown, right? Nobody wants to go at our team's trending down. But people are, outside of your program, and many of you in the program, asking questions. The point that I'm making here, Tyler, is not that you are wrong. It's that you are, I think, taking the most optimistic outlook at the numbers from yesterday. The reality is, when you look at the blue chip ratio, 4 and 5 stars as a percentage of your overall recruiting class, and you go look at the top 10, 6 are playoff teams. Of the other 4, 1 just missed the playoffs with a first-year head coach, and the other 3 are asking questions about their head coach. It is a ratio we pay attention to for a number. And Clemson, their early national signing day period, is a 0% blue chip ratio. You cannot tell me that actually that's a good thing, because I'm giving you the empirical evidence that it's not. Having a blue chip ratio that is above 50% doesn't guarantee you a damn thing. But the higher you are towards the top of that ratio, the more it's reflected on the football field. That is empirically true. All right, audio blitz. When we come back, best audio we have found, including a couple of messages off of the Ray Memorial Hotline. If you want your voice on the radio, go to the Odyssey app, the Fan Upstate page, click on the circle button with the microphone in it, drop us that 30 to 60 second voice note, and if you do it during this break, you might be on the audio blitz in the next segment of the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Audio Blitz is the voice, nope, sorry, is the best audio, including voice notes, that we have heard over the past day or so since last we checked in with all of you. It is messages you've sent us on the Ray Memorial Hotline. It is audio we've picked up from the sports world and outside of it. And we jump into it now. Lonzo, I'm going to start with this one. I've been carrying this one all week. Today is the day. Kirk Cousins played real bad this past weekend. Like, by every metric, he was bad. Bad enough that, as somebody who has watched over that game, I think Kirk Cousins is the direct reason the Falcons lost this weekend. Now, wins and losses are not a quarterback stat, but I do think there can be a game where a quarterback can play well enough to win the game for his team and bad enough to lose the game for his team. I think Kirk Cousins played poorly enough to lose the game for his team. I am not the only one who feels that way. Bill Simmons on the Ringer pod got into a conversation. He said this. I completely agree with that take. I think you make the switch now. The game plan was you let Kirko run the program for two or for a season, at least maybe two, and you allow Michael Penix a chance to do two things. Number one, get that knee as close to 100% as it is going to possibly get back to. And number two, much like you did with Bryce Young in Carolina, give him some time to ride the pine and learn how the NFL works. And I'm not just talking about the game. I'm talking about all the other aspects of being an NFL quarterback. I'm talking about prep time and practice time and meetings and travel and women and all these other elements that come into being an NFL starting quarterback. Well, you've given the man 12 games and 13 weeks sitting on the pine, and Kirk Cousins is playing bad football right now. Now, maybe it's because he's aged. You know, I was worried about him being a 40-year-old quarterback when he came in, and I got a lot of flack for hating on a grandpa, hating on an old man, but you can see it now. He is slow. He has no zip on the football, even when he needs to. There's just nothing over the past, really, 3 weeks, but especially this past weekend going right. I would make the switch to Kirk Cousins this
weekend.
Yeah,
if you make that switch, that means you're saying you're done with him. You don't bench him if you plan on keeping Kirk Cousins.
Okay.
If this was only a one-season thing, you do it. If not, then you let him keep playing.
Nah, I'm done. I'd be done. What is there on the metric right now that says he's got a turnaround in him, right? I don't see one. I told you coming in, my biggest concern was that Kirk Cousins was covered up in Minnesota by having maybe the best assembly of pass-catching talent in the National Football League, and that when he got to Atlanta, it wasn't going to go great. They're 500. There's still a door open to be divisional champs. No door to the wild card in the NFC. If you want a shot, I think you have to make the switch now.
I don't care how good you are in the NFC South. When you get there, you're suddenly going to be mediocre because no one wants to win this division. No one's really wanted to win it in a long, long time. Everybody wants to be like hovering around 500. That's all they want to do.
Here's the thing. You know you're a 500 ball club with Kirk Cousins. You don't know that you're not better with Michael Penix. And if you lose the division, you lose the division. You're not a Super Bowl team. We all know that. So make the switch now and see what happens. Now, one more Kirko sound. Kirk was on a podcast earlier this week, one of the Barstool podcasts, and he was asked, what do you want to do at the end of your career? And once again, as much as I criticize Kirk on the field, I'm a big Kirk Cousin guys off. I'm a big Kirko guy away from the squad. Here's what Kirk said he's interested in doing when his career wraps up. I get it. Me and Chris Evans, Captain America down the hall, we both have a background in acting. I mean, I was in one play in high school. I'm like,
I was going to say, this is the first I've heard of your acting background. Yeah, so
I was in a play in high school.
Okay, yeah.
And I was damn good at it.
I was in a bunch of church plays. That doesn't mean that I'm a good actor.
I was a great actor. I was the comedic relief too. I was in a stage adaptation, a high school stage adaptation of The Importance of Being Earnest, and I played the butler, who in the play doesn't really do anything like except facilitate movement of things on the page. But I decided for comedic effect that I was going to be like a Chris Farley butler in the background, and the director hated it. But what I did was I came out and I put sweet tea in a flask and I was drinking from a flask, and every time the actors would turn their head, I would take a sip. And the premise of one of the scenes is the two characters are having breakfast. And so for the stage adaptation, they just put a big mound of blueberry muffins on the table between these actors. Actually, the guy playing the main role is the lead singer in my band now, Teddy. And so I decided that just to see if I could get away with it on the night we debuted this thing, they put the big mound of muffins between them. And every time that the two of them would talk to each other or face the audience, I would see how many muffins I could shove into my mouth without breaking character. And by the time they turned around for the last scene, which was supposed to be that they both picked up a muffin and like took a bite while they were having this reflective moment, they turned around and I had eaten like 36 mini muffins off this mound. I'm a comedic genius, is what it comes down to. So I get it, Kirko. I really do.
No, you saw free food and you went for it.
Judge. Last night, Thursday night football. I don't want to talk about the game. I want to talk about one of the most iconic intros to a TNF game I have ever heard, Lonzo. Jim Ross's music.
I don't know, man. It's kind of sad because he's lost so much, and it hurts my feelings more than it makes me feel nostalgic.
First off, me and Jim Ross were friends. We shook hands at an AEW event one time. All right, so we're buddy. I got a picture with Jim Ross. Good dude.
I was
on TV with
Jim
Ross.
Was a lingering handshake?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Because it was at a show last year, and the folks down the hallway that are the wrestling guys who get all the good access tickets, they couldn't go. So they gave me their tickets, and I was literally sitting on the rail by the announce team. I was on TV all night. You could hear me and Joby screaming throughout the show.
No, we remember to the point where they were trying to avoid showing.
Yep. Not ashamed. Me and JR, we're buddies now. Give Jim Ross every intro to every football game ever. But tell him only if he does it like it's a WrestleMania main event. By God, that's Jared Goff's music.
I don't think he has that in him anymore. I don't. I mean, I think he's reached an age where he can't do that anymore.
Let's do a couple. Let's do a college football clip. There is a web show, I guess, called The Program. It's kind of like Hard Knocks for college, and they do little snippets from different programs getting ready for different games or whatever. One of them was Dan Lanning and the Oregon Ducks. Dan Lanning and the Ducks were heading to take on the Whiskey Badgers not terribly long ago. Well, you know all, Camp Randall in Wisconsin, they play Jump Around. And it's like their hype song, right? And Dan Lanning had a very interesting strategy on how to get the boys ready. Now, what was really cool about this clip, and I'll post it in my social media coming up here in just a minute from now. What was very cool was that the next clip transitioned to the actual game. And you can see there's a camera next to the duck huddle. And that song keeps playing, and you can see them all, and you can hear them talking to each other, and they're like, here it goes, let's go, here it goes. And that song starts, and there is this great clip, Lonzo, from a camera from the other side of the field with two or three Badgers players, and they're all kind of like, you can see them kind of getting ready to get geared up to get hype, and through their helmets, you can see the Ducks on the other side, and they are losing their ever minds. They are going off. They are jumping hype. They are slapping helmets, headbutting, whatever, going bananas. And you can see all three Wisconsin players like turn and look and then like turn their bodies staring at them like, yo, what are they doing? It's incredible. I watched this and not a joke. I watched that and immediately went, when I get to Charlotte, because I'm going up there in the daytime tomorrow. When I get to Charlotte, slamming a bet on the Ducks to beat the hell out of Penn State because Dan Lanning gets it.
Listen, it's a great move, but you can only do it for certain songs. You can do that for that song. You do it for Enter Sandman. You can never, ever do it for the lamest song ever, Mr. Brightside.
I went out of my head, and I'll be doing just fine. Gotta be.
The whole time you're going to be thinking, why am I watching them? My girlfriend's like messing around. I just don't.
It was only
I'm no longer motivated to play football. I'm hurt.
I mean, if you don't get it.
I just want to go home, go to the sideline and get a hug.
If you don't get it, you don't get it. Hey, Vikings running back Aaron Jones.
You know who didn't get it? He didn't, but he's watching some other guy get it.
We've already broken it down. We're not doing it again. You refuse to accept the brilliance behind the song. Vikings running back Aaron Jones is struggling with the fumbles right now. Got a case of the fumbles. Had two or three of them in the last couple of weeks. How are you working on getting better at holding on to the football, Aaron?
The kids are all right, though, right? I mean, the kids are good.
I mean, so far, so good.
We know the kids are okay.
So far, so good. Don't appear to have too much of a problem. I mean, I got to tell you, it's a good way to do it, right? Good way to do it. Good way to do it. Grab that kid, two hands, 5 points of contact, right? You've heard the 5 points of contact. You got one with the fingers, one with the wrist, one with the elbow, one with the shoulder, 5 points of contact. Wrap that thing in tight. Also do that with your two-year-old. Because if you don't fumble the two-year-old, you can't fumble the football. Now, my question is, are you committed enough to that, Aaron, that while you are walking around the house hanging on to your kid with the 5 points of contact tucked close to the body, are you having your wife slap you in the arms trying to make you drop? Because if you're not, you're not committed to the bit, All right? If you don't have your wife randomly shoulder checking into you, then you're not really getting any better. You're just holding your kid. Aaron, commit to the bit. Have your wife just occasionally tackle you into the couch and make sure you protect little Johnny so that he's good. And if he's good, the ball's going to be good.
We at The Fan and Odyssey do not condone child endangerment. That's just a Rob thing.
Are you committed to hanging on to the football or not? Because if you're committed to hanging on to the football.
Dude, stop.
If you're committed to hanging on to the football, then, you know, you let your wife blitz the A-gap and maybe chuck you into the wall. And again, if that kid's fine, A, you're a good dad, and B, you're a good ball carrier. And if that kid's not fine, it's your fault, Aaron. Ball security has got to be your primary priority. If you're not working every day at being a better, more secure, confident ball carrier to the point that you're willing to put your kids on the line, then you're not committed to the gig.
You, sir, are evil.
We'll find somebody else who'll do it,
Ryan. Evil. Stop.
Aaron, we will find somebody else who'll do it. Hey, when we come back here in a minute, Kevin and John from the Moving the Chains app join us. They will give you a rundown.
They may go. I'm not coming on that show after what I just heard.
They're going to agree. They're big guys.
They're not going to agree.
They're big
to
no
that.
Ball guys. All right.
Okay.
And also, neither of them has a kid. Well, so they're big no ball guys.
As far as we know. I mean, you know.
Listen, do you want to run it back with ball security, or do you want some guy who's half assed who's treating it like it's gentle?
Yeah, I'm trying to distance myself from.
Hang on to the ball. Hang on to the ball, Aaron. Hang on to the ball. Hang on to your butts while Lonzo does his sports flash.
Yeah, just don't. No children involved.
Do you want a good back or not?
Yeah. Okay. Please leave the room. I'm worried. The Detroit Lions converted a fourth down with a less than a minute to play, no children involved, on their way to a game-winning field goal and a 34-31 victory over Green Bay last night. Jared Goff was 32 of 41, 283 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 pick in the win. Detroit improves to 12-1 on the season. The South Carolina Gamecocks women's basketball team knocked off number 8 Duke last night, 81-70. The Gamecocks were led by Chloe Kitts, 21 points and 11 boards. Every South Carolina player scored, including 30 points from bench players. The Gamecocks recorded 13 takeaways and 8 blocks in the contest. Make sure you tune in tomorrow at 11:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Princeton Tigers. It's Furman versus Princeton right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.